And I realized before today, they didn't think that was true, that God could speak their language and that God understood them. After the celebration itself wrapped up, I was able to ask one of the translators about that statement. And I said, what does that mean? Like, can you help me understand that? Because I don't understand what that feels like or what that means. And she said, prior to having the New Testament in their language, she did not think that God could understand her prayers.
You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Pentecost is right around the corner. It's Sunday, May 24th, and I thought it would be appropriate to consider how God's Word is being made accessible to more language communities every day through the work of Lutheran Bible translators and partners.
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University Irvine. You can learn more about Concordia University Irvine at cui.edu.
Joining us today, Jessica Albers. She's a member of the Advancement Team with Lutheran Bible Translators. Jessica, welcome to The Coffee Hour.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us.
I think this is your first visit to The Coffee Hour, correct?
It is, yes.
Well, glad to have you on board as a guest on The Coffee Hour. Looking forward to learning more about your work with Lutheran Bible Translators and all the people you get to work with around the globe. Let's start with the work of Lutheran Bible Translators today. How many language communities have access to God's Word in their own language?
Yeah, so there are currently over 7,000 languages spoken in the world today, and just under 800 have access to the full Bible in the language they understand best. So we use around 4,500 have some translation work in progress.
So how is Lutheran Bible Translators working in those gaps?
Yeah, that's a great question. So right now we're looking at globally, we still have a big need for Bible translation. And I'll actually start with a misconception about Bible translation and the work that we do. So many people think that we come in, we show up, we translate the Bible, we hand it over, and then we leave and head on to the next place. And that's not actually how Lutheran Bible Translator specifically works. So we believe very much in local partnership. So we go in, we're invited in by local communities. So usually Christians in the language community invite us in, knowing that they want God's Word. There's a desire there for it. And so we come in, we partner very closely with them. And there's a lot of work that happens along the way. So we come in and help from everything with language surveying to see if their language is actually unique or if there's already scripture available for them that might work for them. Some languages that we work with don't have a written language yet. So we actually help partner with them to make sure that they have that. So that's called an orthography. We'll help develop that as needed. And then if they haven't had a written language, they don't know how to read their language. So we also partner with them and support literacy training and development along the way so that they're able to engage with scripture throughout the process and ultimately own it for themselves and their language community. So we call that a co-creative process. We're working with the needs of the local communities. And then ultimately, our goal is to get them to a point where they have access to the full Bible. So that involves a whole lot of steps along the way. But we step into that gap with these language communities, specifically developing relationships with them.
I'm intrigued by the whole orthography concept. Like, I can't imagine walking into a community where there isn't a written language and learning about them, learning about their language, and then helping develop a written form of that language. That's fascinating. Have you ever had a chance to like see any bits of that process?
I've seen the impact of that process. Mm-hmm. So we work, some of our field personnel are linguists. So they're the ones that are actually doing that work with these local communities. And so they are the ones that are working on figuring out those problems and working alongside the people to create written language. It is absolutely fascinating to see the results of that and the progress that they make. But it's an essential part of what we do because you ultimately have to have that to have a Bible translation in the end. So yeah, it's very technical. I can say that.
I'm sure. And I would imagine that would take years. That's not something that's just happening overnight.
No, it does take a long time. And something that is important to us is that the communities involved. So we are definitely supporting that process. We want the local community leads the effort. So especially with language development, we need to make sure that any work that's happening feels comfortable for the people so that the language reflects how they're speaking it, their culture. There's a lot that goes into not just developing the language, but also then into the translation.
Tell us about what you've learned about this whole process of Lutheran Bible translators, like the whole work of translation, since you've come to be a part of the LBT team.
Oh my goodness, that's a good question. Yes, this has been an extraordinary learning journey for me. So my background is in education. So I came into this really not knowing a whole lot about what Lutheran Bible translators did around the world. So I was a member of the, I thought that we went in and translated and, you know, handed off and left crew. And so learning and seeing the process, the relationship building that's involved, and just the technicalities of translation. This is a very deep and wide field as far as what understanding is needed, what training is needed. I have the privilege of working, my coworkers on the field side are some of the most brilliant people that I have ever engaged with. They really know what they're doing. And there's just this core care for people woven alongside it. So as far as the translation process, understanding the back and forth of how do you even work as an English speaker? How would you even start working in a language where you have no understanding or there is no written language? You know, there's so much, diagnosis probably isn't the right word, but there's so many steps of problem solving and listening and figuring out and navigating cultural differences along the way. So I think that's been the biggest thing for me, or the highlight of everything that I've learned, is just watching my coworkers navigate with our partners to solve some of these problems.
Tell us about the people you get to work with. I know there's obviously the missionaries on the field. You've mentioned linguists. Tell us about the team that is actually behind all of this work that you've been talking about with LBT.
Yes, we have a huge team. So we have an international office located in Concordia, Missouri. So that is our U.S.-based staff. So that's the team that I sit on. Our job is making sure that our supporters in the U.S. know what's happening in the field. And then when we go into the field, we do have, we call them missionaries, and some of them are regional directors. So most of them live in the context where they're working. And they are many disciplines. So we have some who have gone through the theological and language training that pastors go through. So many of our field staff have gone through seminary. They know the biblical languages, things like that. And then, like I said before, we have linguists, we have exegetes. There's a special classification of translator called a consultant. So they have years of experience in translation, and they are the ultimate stamp of approval at the end to say, yes, this translation is good, it's accurate, precise, stamp of approval for use. And so that's a very distinct classification in our system. But yeah, these people are absolutely fascinating. Best part of my job is just asking them questions and learning about what they do. We also have a really long-standing group. So many of our team on the translation side have been with Lutheran Bible Translators for 40 plus years, working in translation, working all over the globe with different communities. So I'm really blessed. I feel I'm the new kid on the block in this. And so it's been amazing to get to work with them.
I know you have some second and third generation missionaries and those serving on the LBT team as well. We've talked with some of them here on the Coffee Hour. I want to talk about your experience. I know you had the opportunity to see this process come to fruition with a translation as well. Tell us about the people group that you got to be connected with through this experience.
Yes. So part of my job is getting to visit our programs in the field. And my first visit to Africa was to visit for the Shakala Hari New Testament dedication that was in Botswana. So this was a long-standing project, decades of work. In fact, our CEO, Rich Radowski, who I think you've spoken with before, he started that program when he was living in Botswana. So this was decades in the making for this day. And it was my first experience in Africa, my first experience really seeing the impact of the work that Lutheran Bible Translators does. So I this is my favorite story to share because I'm sitting here and I'm kind of overwhelmed in the moment. There's so much happening at these dedications. They are massive celebrations. They invite everyone from chiefs to government leaders. It's a big deal. And in the middle of all of this movement and noise and celebration, this woman shouts out, "Today God speaks Shakala Hari." And it hit me just like, I mean, it was like this wave just hit me. And I realized before today, they didn't think that was true, that God could speak their language and that God understood them. And so after the celebration itself wrapped up, I sat in the back under this big tree doing interviews, and I was able to ask one of the translators about that statement. And I said, "What does that mean? Like, can you help me understand that? Because I don't understand what that feels like or what that means." And she said that prior to having the New Testament in their language, she did not think that God could understand her prayers, that God could answer prayers in English. He could answer prayers in Setswana, which is a main language in Botswana. But that because his word didn't exist in Shakala Hari, that must mean he doesn't speak Shakala Hari. And that moment made me realize every single thing that we do in this mission and ministry is so important, because I cannot imagine being separated from, you know, the promises that you and I grew up with of God knows you. He knows you intimately, all those things. To be separated from that, to be separated from my father in heaven because of a language barrier. And I was like, this is amazing that we can step into that. And we can, that's a problem that we can help solve, not just for the Shakala Hari people, but for people all over the world.
We're talking with Jessica Albers, a member of the advancement team with Lutheran Bible Translators, telling us wonderful stories. And we have more to share right after we take a quick break. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Eddie Bates.
At Concordia University Irvine, you have the freedom to explore your future and your faith. Across over 60 on-campus and online programs, you'll experience Christian education that's uniquely designed to develop the whole person, to prepare you not just for your career, but for all of your callings in life. Here you'll explore life's toughest questions, gain lifelong skills, and make relationships that last a lifetime. Concordia University Irvine. Learn more at cui.edu.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We're talking with Jessica Albers, member of the advancement team with Lutheran Bible Translators, telling us a wonderful story about your trip to Botswana, your experience with the people, getting a fuller understanding of what it even means to be doing the work that you're doing. Tell us more about your experiences, your trip to Botswana, what it was like to be among the people that you're working with LBT.
Yeah, so it's a whole different experience being there. So we hear stories, you know, my job really is translation on a different level, right? So I get to go see, I get to hear stories, and then I translate them for all of us here in the United States who don't get to go walk with these people. And so I take that very seriously as part of my job, and sitting knee to knee with these people and hearing the impact of getting to hear God's word for the first time and what that does. And not just the people, but the translators are really, really hearing it for the first time. So they're sitting and wrestling with it at, we call it the translation table. You know, they're the ones sitting there. What word do we use to describe this? Is that really the best way to handle this part of scripture? You know, not all scripture is cut and dry with how it describes things. And so ultimately, we need to make sure that understanding is clean and clear for the people. And so there's always stories coming out about new understanding, where most of the people we work with are already Christian, but they've only experienced scripture in English or another main language of communication. So it's those eye-opening moments that I'm a lifelong Lutheran. I've been a Christian my entire life. And so I've never had that. And even in our culture here in the States, it's still Christian-based. We're still surrounded by things, even if we don't believe, we're still familiar with things from Scripture. And so those moments are really key for me.
I think you started to touch on this, the cultural impact in a translation process and what that means. Sometimes I think we have this misunderstanding that you can just simply translate something into another language. And it's just as simple as translating words, but there's certainly a cultural aspect to this as well. What does that look like when you're on the ground there in another community, seeing a new translation? And what does the cultural impact play in that process and in that experience?
Yeah. The biggest thing that we see is, let's talk about translation. So we'll start there. So when they're actually translating, there is a process of making sure that concepts are translated. So it's not just a word for word translation. A lot of people ask, probably one of the most frequently asked questions I get is, what version of the English Bible are you translating from? We're translating from the Hebrew and the Greek into these local languages. Their Bible is going to be, we say, as good as the English Bible. They're going to the source material, but it's not a word for word. And there's things culturally that people in very rural places in Africa won't understand in the original languages. So we have to make sure those concepts translate also. So things like, many of these people have no concept of what snow is. They've never seen it, and they have no way of seeing it. Now, with technology, that's become, that gap is closing. But we have some language communities where they have 100 different ways of saying how to get in and out of a boat. So they might have a word for putting a thing in a boat, for putting a person in a boat, for getting out of a boat, on which side, because they're river or water people. So those, you'd ask me about learning about the process, even learning about that and how translation works, and the history of the English translation is wrapped into that too. So it's definitely culturally appropriate and developed. Impacts on culture then are, we look at things like syncretism is a big deal in Africa. There's still a lot of witchcraft and just local belief systems that are still in place. And those don't just go away because we have a Bible. So frequently local churches are navigating, how do we make sure that the Bible is being engaged with as the authority in their belief system. So that's where the scripture engagement work that we do is really important too, so that people aren't just reading and put like a book. God's word is not just a book, it's living and active. So how is that seeping into the soul and really changing and transforming lives?
How does the experiences you have that you had in Botswana, how does that change now how you approach reading scripture and having I can't even tell you how many Bibles I have in my house in English, because that's just kind of how we grow up here. How have these things affected you personally?
That is a great question. I'll go back to that moment where I heard that phrase, "Today God speaks Shakalahari." That's probably one of the most impactful spiritual moments of my entire life. We say things all the time in the church about we need to read our Bibles more, or we have so much access. And that's so true. But we can have access and still be starving spiritually. And so for me, I am Lutheran educated, K through college and beyond. My family is all Lutheran church workers. So I am steeped in this. And I've realized, wow, I take that for granted. I take for granted that I can just access it whenever I want to. And the thing that I see when I'm in the field is the hunger for it. When you don't have access to it, the hunger and desire for it is palpable. And every person I sit across, I sit in the interview seat and get to talk to these people, and every single person talks about it that way. And so we have a quote from a guy who said, the first time I heard it, it was like rain falling on desert ground, and it seeped into my soul. And I just sit here, and sometimes for me personally, I'm like, I don't know that I've ever felt that way. I get comfort and relief, but have I ever desired it that way? And So I check, that is now a personal check that I do on myself of, am I taking this for granted? And, you know, I have kids. And so also making sure I don't want them to take it for granted. I want them to know what a privilege it is to have His word and to engage with it daily.
I have some really nice swag. I have this really comfy sweatshirt from Lutheran Bible Translators, and it says 2033 in bold print on the front of it. Tell me more about what 2033. Yes. People have asked me about this, and I've started to briefly explain it, but you're going to explain it so much better than I can.
I would love to. Yes. So Lutheran Bible Translators is part of a global alliance of translation organizations. It's called the Illuminations Global Alliance. And this is an absolutely historic partnership where we are all aligned on a same goal of making sure that every language in the world, so over 7,000 languages, all have some amount of catalytic scripture. So what that means is there's enough scripture in their language available to know about Jesus and the promise of salvation by 2033. And so we are amplifying that message everywhere. This is a moment where Lutherans really are sitting on the front lines of this. When we talk about it, it's like this is our generation's 1517 moment where there has never been another time in history where we have not just these partnerships globally, but we have the technology, we have the local church leadership and engagement in these communities to really imagine that future where no one is waiting for God's word. They have God's word in the language they understand best. And so we are super excited about that global momentum that we're seeing. We're inviting people to join into that with us. And we're looking forward to that day when we can let every single person know that God speaks every language.
What kind of work goes into that for you with Lutheran Bible Translators, but that the entire partnership, that Illuminations partnership, what work is that taking to make that goal happen?
Yeah, it's a lot of collaboration, a lot of conversation. And again, just that mutually shared focus where we're not working in silos. We're at a point in history where ministry cannot afford to be siloed. We need to start strategically thinking about how we can help each other in the work, how we best work together in the field. So oftentimes in our programs, it's not just us present. We're working alongside usually a Bible society. So like in Botswana, there's a Bible Society Botswana that we partner closely with in the work that we do. And so it's just constant collaboration. And it's really powerful to see it in action on our side of things, on the U.S. side, and looking even within the church body, is we're starting to partner with other ministries to see how can we align in our focus and our mission. And this is something, you know, when you think about mission and ministry, none of it can happen without God's word. It's foundational. So even people who aren't Christian, who aren't faith-based, they can do good things, but the transformation of that work happens with God's word. So this is really foundational to all other work. And again, it is incredibly exciting, not just because, you know, of the family work and legacy that I have in the Lutheran Church, but also seeing historically watching us as Lutherans taking really a front line position in making sure that this work is happening.
LBT.org is the website. What are we going to find there? What are we going to learn about Lutheran Bible Translators when we visit that website?
You're going to find information about our program. So you'll be able to see all of the information that I shared about Shikala Hari and then also all the other programs that we work with. You're also going to find information about how to partner with us. So we invite people into the mission with us by asking them to pray, give, and advocate. So the stories that I share today, if you know people who need to hear that, or maybe just have that little refresher of, like I shared, knowing that God speaks their language and we have direct access to God our Father, share that with people. Let them know and invite them into that story. So all of that is available on our website.
Our guest today, Jessica Elber, she's a member of the advancement team with Lutheran Bible Translators. You can learn more at lbt.org. Jessica, thanks so much for being our guest on the Coffee Hour today.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.